God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Did you see the other debate? No, the other presidential debate. Yeah, there was another one. It was only seen by 5.9 million people, quite purposely, because that's what the party wanted. The party. There is a party. You know this, right? In Washington, D.C., there's Republicans and Democrats. Those are the brand labels. Then there's the party. And the party is, choose your phrase, the entrenched bureaucracy, the permanent government, the cabal, the deep state. It all means the same thing, people who are actually running things. And I know, it's so conspiratorial to say that there are bosses behind the scenes, and yet those of us who watched the main presidential debate, we are very much aware that, very sadly, Joe Biden isn't capable of running anything. And if he were capable of running it, he would run it for grift and greed and thievery. That's who he's become. I don't think for a second that God can't rescue him. God can rescue anybody. God can use anybody. God may well decide to turn Joe Biden in the next day into a full active disciple of the Lord. He may choose to. He may not. But this other presidential debate, you are not to see it. RFK Jr. is not a guy I could back. He said some flat-out insane things, such as world leaders who do not believe in cataclysmic climate change should be imprisoned for their views. He has said at various times that the National Rifle Association is just as guilty of murder as people who pull the trigger. He has said on abortion that he is as pro-choice as you could be, although trying to walk that line, late-term abortions, maybe not. He is a Kennedy, which is one of the original families of politics in America. Maybe not original, but second gen. His uncle, JFK, was murdered. In my judgment, and this has come now 20 years into me thinking it was conspiracy, in year 22, thinking about this, I'm in my mid-50s, I'm now of the opinion that JFK was murdered by the deep state, the party. They don't want you to see things like the RFK Jr. debate. And it was an interesting way to do it. John Stossel, who is about as independent a journalist as you can be, John Stossel hosted it. RFK Jr. was responding to the same questions that were being given President Trump and figurehead Biden. Oh, and by the way, I'll talk later about my use of the word figurehead. A listener sent me a very kind, challenging note on this, suggesting that I call Biden president. My faith doesn't allow me to call him president. I'll explain why. Oh, I do know what God said about how we're to address and have respect for elected officials and that God places people in power. It collides, though, with something that I think is eminently harder for me to override, and that's the command to not lie. That's for me. It doesn't need to be for you. RFK Jr. was at this debate, 5.9 million people watching it versus the 80 million people who saw the CNN debate, such as it was. This is RFK Jr.
It's shocking that 51 CIA agents signed this document saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian hoax. And they were accusing the Russians of tampering with our election. It was actually the CIA tampering with the election.
So he says things that aren't to be said in ways they're not to be said. That's not to be said. That's not to be said that way. What does he mean? Well, the CIA is part of a group that has done in other countries something called a color revolution. A color revolution is where you set countrymen against countrymen, You destroy faith in institutions. You destroy faith in media, academia, and schools. You work your way down to the youngest of generations to tear families apart. Why would the CIA do that here? Well, why would they not? If they would do it in other countries, why would they not do it here? They only do it in other countries for good ideas, because they're good people, because it's patriotic. Since they're good people doing the right thing and they're patriots, what would be wrong with a color revolution here if it stopped the wrong people from getting in power or the wrong people from finding out the wrong things? That's where I think this is all coming from. It has spiritual implications, of course. God is allowing this. He has made the decision that you and I will live through times such as these, meaning he has decided that we can be trusted during times such as these, and he will equip us. One of the things we must do is not count on help from Washington, D.C., or count on things getting better. That's a cynical view. God may well make them better. But what if he doesn't? What if God says, nope, the nation of America is going to be in constant decline from here on out? What if that's his choice? What if that's his way of saving souls? We know this. If he makes that decision, it will be for our good. Doesn't make it fun. Will it diminish our faith if God says, no, America has entered into a stage of decline from which it will not recover? Would your faith be less? It's hard to think about. I love this country. We'll celebrate Independence Day this week, and we'll do a show focusing on that. RFK Jr.'s closing remarks in this debate that you are purposely not supposed to see or hear, he qualified in any meaningful way to be on that stage with President Trump and Joe Biden. The Democrats do not want him there. He's a Kennedy. And surprisingly, there's a lot of people in politics or who vote who don't know that he's running. They don't know he's running. A Kennedy. I don't think the people who advised President Trump wanted RFK Jr. there. Again, the ability for RFK Jr. to siphon votes from President Trump, because they do say many of the same things. They do, particularly about the deep state. There's an important difference, though, with RFK Jr., which is, in my judgment, the real reason he was not on that stage. This is part of his closing statement.
There was a poll taken that asked young people under 35 in this country, are you proud of the United States? 85% said yes. The same poll taken 5 months ago, 18% said yes. So somehow, during the administration of these two presidents, an entire generation of Americans has lost pride in our country and a hope in their own futures. And they feel that way because they see what's happening. They can't get into a home. The first generation in history in America that is going to live worse lives than their parents. They see the vitriol that you saw here, the division, the polarization that makes them disgusted with politics. They're seeing the corrupt merger of state and corporate power that has transformed our agencies from the CIA, the health agencies, the environmental agencies, into sock puppets, the industries they're supposed to regulate. They're seeing the destruction of our soils, the destruction of our air and water. They're watching this happen, and the politicians do nothing about it except for hate on each other. If you want more of the same, you should vote for President Biden, President Trump. You know what's going to happen. You know that. They're going to give you 4 more years of the same stuff. If you want things to completely change, you're going to support me, because I'm going to change everything.
So that's RFK Jr., his closing statement, or part of it. You were not supposed to hear that. You're not supposed to see it. You'll notice that the Mockingbird media hasn't mentioned it. You'll notice that they've made the decision that they're going to do everything they can to use what I call the propaganda of silence. That's actually a phrase I trademarked. The propaganda of silence. See, the most powerful weapon in the toolkit of the Mockingbird media is silence. They don't mention a thing, and to many people, it's not happening. Just think of the early on transing of kids. I know, because I've been fighting that battle for almost 10 years. I know that I had people who were otherwise well-informed say, no, that doesn't happen. 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago. I had a woman who worked in the news business look me in the eye on live radio and say, that has never happened. That has never been done to a child. As I sat there at my desk on the same radio show with a folder filled with letters from parents with pictures of their kids before and after what had been done to them. Letters from Children's Hospital saying, this is what we're going to do for you, and then to them. And she still insisted, that's never happened. Potent, the propaganda of silence. I think the reason that RFK Jr. is not in the debates is because RFK Jr. is the single candidate who will talk about the utter corruption of the public health field. The FDA is a pharmaceutical company, full stop. The CDC is a pharmaceutical company and a defense industry sock puppet. A Pentagon sock puppet, full stop. So corrupt is so-called public health that the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, finally did something I've been predicting, not because I'm special, not because I have some form of special clairvoyance, anything like that, just because the patterns are so clear. He finally went and did the thing I've been predicting for about 4 years, and this has to do with what they choose to call gun violence.
Today, for the first time in the history of our office, I am issuing a Surgeon General's advisory on firearm violence. It outlines the urgent threat firearm violence poses to the health and well-being of our country. As a doctor, I've seen the consequences of firearm violence up close in the lives of the patients I've cared for over the years. These are moms and dads, sons and daughters, all of whom were robbed of their physical and mental health by senseless acts of violence. Unfortunately, the problem has continued to grow. 54% of adults in America report that they or a family member have experienced a firearm-related incident.
A firearm-related incident. Yeah, it could be the use of a firearm to defend yourself. It could be having one pulled on you. It could be losing one. Or, yes, shootings. He wants to make this a mental health issue when it's not. He said that young people now, gun violence, as they call it, or him, firearm violence, is the top cause of death of young people. Yeah, gang violence in Democrat-run cities where black young people are the number one cause of death of black young people. Well, and suicides are up. They're up because of the lockdowns and because of what's being done to kids through social media and through the porn culture. That's the root of this. Sin problem, yes. A gun problem, no. So why do this? Remember what happened when there was a bad flu? A flu that was probably made in a lab in China using your money, illegally, but still. Remember what happened to our rights? Oh, they disappeared. We just narrowly escaped the World Health Organization being given power over our response to any public health issue, like, you know, gun violence, where they would be allowed, this is the World Health Organization, would have been allowed to control things like disinformation and misinformation, and to declare pandemics or health crises. So what would be the data point? What would make a health crisis? At one point, the World Health Organization wanted to define this as reports of a health crisis. What do I mean? People on Twitter saying, gosh, I feel sick. And if there were enough of them in a given area, the World Health Organization could step in and say, hey, look, we have a health crisis or gun violence. RFK Jr. was not in the debates, not the main one, because RFK Jr. speaks very clearly about the deep state. And he speaks very persuasively about the deep state having taken out his uncle, JFK. We know this. We're watching in live time as the deep state is attempting to rig the election. That's what they're doing to Donald Trump. The lawfare. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. On Thursday, most of us are going to either recognize or celebrate Independence Day. Some of us will mourn it. Some of us will mourn it because of the nature of where our country's at right now. Wednesday, I want to talk about independence as Christians. What does it mean? Well, little maybe foreshadowing. To me, it means to be independent of the things of this world, and that is so utterly difficult. Something about being in my mid-50s somehow makes it more difficult. I noticed, you know, that my deep, deep, deep passion for working out recently has become an interest in looking good. I don't like that. I don't like it. Started with doing video. We do so much video work here. And this is where the future of my particular career lay, is in video work. So, yeah, you know what? My teeth are kind of yellow. I drink a ton of coffee. I should probably whiten them. And then it was, well, I should probably get a little tan. Now, part of this is my journey that I'm going to in this big, big event at the end of September, SEAL Fit. Some of my friends who went through Hell Week as Navy SEALs said, hey, by the way, you're going to get sunburned unless you get really, really leathery skin now. So plan to go down there with leathery, tan skin. It started with that. And then I found myself looking at it going, wow, I look better tan. And all of a sudden, now, things of this world. Now, you could say that fitness itself is a pursuit of the things of this world. I have tended to think of this as somehow glorifying the body God gave me and the community it builds. And I do build great community. I'm a member of a fantastic, supportive, largely Christian community of athletes. People half my age who keep me energetic and learning new things and having an opportunity to share with them the foibles and mistakes an old man has made in hopes that they will not make the same ones. But it's so easy to become sucked in by the things of this world. It really is. So as we think of ourselves and our country on Independence Day, our country declared independence from what? Well, a king, but from what else? Independence from moods, mood swings, anger, bitterness. Now, we didn't achieve independence from those feelings. That can only be done through Jesus. What I mean is, when a country is ruled by royalty, a country is ruled by moods. The mood of the king, the mood of the court. We are dangerously close to that here. And let it not surprise us. It is so tempting to look at a country like ours on the precipice on which it sits, and it is at the most dangerous point it's ever been, in my judgment, because of the purposeful color revolution that's being pushed down upon this country, because they're now at the point of separating generations. They're now at the point of getting to year zero. A generation of kids who are going to be raised never having known that there is male and female, ever. Never having known free speech. Never ever being raised to think it is unthinkable that the government would choose to shut down speech. Never knowing that that was not the design. Year zero. Add to that the attack on the churches, the spiritual attack, the setting up of fake counterfeit Christian churches from churches that say are evangelical but will not talk about these so-called social issues because it's scary. And so they punt, meaning an entire generation of young people who don't know about free speech, who do not know about the original intent of the country, who do not know that there are in fact only men and women. They're going to also be raised never having heard these so-called social issues discussed in church. Therefore, they'll think they're unimportant to the other form of counterfeit Christianity, which is just the blatantly heretical churches. It's easy for us to look at this and go, we're unique, but we're not. It's our turn. So how do we act? We stand rooted in the faith of Christ. We stand rooted in the Word of God. And look, even as I speak these words to you, I'm well aware of the fact that I am in a storm right now in my age. Don't know why. Don't know why it was selected for this time. My pastor said sometimes when you're on the point of having a spiritual breakthrough, the enemy will do something enormously difficult to you or around you. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're in the same place. I know this. When I went to church this weekend, and this weekend I went alone, I was filled. Suddenly I had fuel for a fight. I know this. I had missed church a couple weeks in a row because of schedule. Oh, I watched online, you know, online. But I wasn't there with the body. I was this weekend. It made a difference. The world is so utterly fallen right now that you have organs, journalism organs, like the Minnesota Star Tribune, who did something that's, well, 3 years ago would be unthinkable. They openly lied in a headline. Openly. Demonstrably. Not even trying to not lie. Here's the headline. See if you can spot the lie. Okay, ready? Murder charges filed against woman accused of crashing victim's car on I-90 with body inside. The latest criminal complaint says Liara Tsai of Minneapolis appeared to have been stabbed to death. Did you spot the lie? No, the lie's right there in the headline. The second I read that headline, I knew it was a lie. I knew the Minnesota Star Tribune was lying. How did I know that? Because I've been through that exact thing, not with a murder, but another form of crime. Did you spot the lie? I'll do the headline again. Murder charges filed against woman accused of crashing victim's car on I-90 with body inside. The latest criminal complaint says Liara Tsai of Minneapolis appeared to have been stabbed to death. Did you spot the lie? Women don't crash people's cars. They don't steal a car, murder a person, steal the person's car, and then crash it. Women don't do that. That was not a woman. The post-millennial tells the truth. So-called trans person arrested after being found with body of dead man at Minneapolis so-called trans activist. Miles Margot G. Lewis, 32, of New Liberty, Iowa, was arrested on Saturday after being found with the dead body of Liara Tsai. They lied. In the headline. They're lying in crime statistics. They don't know it. Some of them know. Some of them know that a so-called trans woman is a man. Some of them. Very, 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 very small percentage. They're told to do this. So they break their own brains. They crush their own brains. Let me explain. Back in the day, when I worked at Bonneville Communications and had a guy that gifted me with a successful morning show in Seattle for a long time, and the fill-in gig for Rush Limbaugh over those 6 or 8 years, I think it was six, almost 200 appearances, God rest Rush. I filled in from time to time on an FM station. In fact, I worked at that FM station for a year in an ill-fated and stupid, I made a stupid decision to go be part of a team show trying to bring the word of God and some conservative politics into that field of general talk radio, getting teamed with two hosts who hated me and a producer who hated me. It was a heck of an experience. God equips the called. No, wait. He equips the called. He equipped me to go see just how blind people are and how blind they make themselves. So let me set the scene for you. I was driving into work to go be in this afternoon show called the Candy Mike and Todd Show, horrible radio show, by the way. And I was driving in and I heard a news report. A woman had stolen identities. A woman had hacked into Citibank and some other banks and stolen 500,000 people's identities and credit records. The second I heard that story, I remember I was driving an I-5 north from Des Moines into Seattle proper. I remember saying to myself, that's not a woman. I remember saying to myself, women don't do that. I drove into work, parked, went into the station. The editorial meeting was about to begin. So I said, hey, give me a second. I need to look at something. I went and looked up the article on a so-called woman named Paige Thompson. I pulled up the article and staring me in the face is the face of a man. Now, I could see it was a man pretending to be a woman, but it was a man. We prepped for the show and went on and did the show. two hosts who, well, Mike didn't really hate me. He just disliked me. Candy hated me. The producer, Andrew, hated me. I'm not guessing. We found emails later about how they were trying to kneecap me on the show because they hated me. They needed my name for the show. When we started to do the program, the news lady came in. And she said a woman has been arrested. And I actually interrupted her. I said, pardon me, Heather, that's a man. Huge, awkward silence. She didn't know how to respond. And Candy and Mike stared at me open mouth. Heather went back to reading the news. A woman was arrested. She said, a woman has been arrested. Her news was over. We began the show, and I was in what's called the A chair. My job was to drive the show, to keep it on time, to keep the topics moving, to keep the conversation moving. And I actually said, hey, I just need to state how embarrassing that our news is saying that this is a woman. This is a man. And the looks on everyone else's faces, just shocked. From the control room out. Later, I went to a friend who used to be a friend. We're no longer friends because of this issue. She was a dear woman, a kind woman, a funny woman. I used to have her on my conservative radio show to do news. We didn't agree on some things, but we agreed on truth. And I went to her. Her name was Jillian. And I went to Jillian and said, Jillian, I have to ask you, why are we calling this man a woman? Why are we doing this? The whole audience knows. I said, have you seen the text lines and the social media responses? Your news department is getting clowned. Why are you doing this? And she looked at me and she said, I'll tell you why. Because the charging papers from the U.S. government say that's a woman. That's why, Todd. She was so upset. Want to know why? She knew. She hadn't sufficiently broken her brain. She needed to break her brain further. Now, why am I saying that? Because Jillian was one of the women who wanted to tell the story about Children's Hospital chemically and surgically altering kids, often against the wishes of the parents. She wanted to tell the story. When I showed her the evidence, including the statements from families and the recorded interviews with families, she wept. She wept. She told me, this is insane. That was about a year before the radio station's stated position was, in the office, if a man pretends to be a woman, we will call that person a woman. This was a radio station, Bonneville, owned by the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. The Mormon Church's expressed diktat was that we were to lie about the sex of colleagues. Jillian had to break her brain further so she could continue to be a reporter who lies to her audience. About 4 weeks later, when Paige Thompson, which was the legal name of this man, when Paige Thompson was booked and put into a prison cell, Paige Thompson was booked as a man, put into a male prison cell with men. I went back to my friend Jillian. I said, hey, Jill, can we talk for a second about this Paige Thompson thing? She said, Todd. I said, Jillian, please. Here's the booking statement. Here is where Paige Thompson is housed. He is recorded as a male. He's in a male prison. He is a man. Can we please no longer have the news department calling him a woman. She froze. She sat there in the newsroom and she looked at me and she looked back at the paper. She froze. She shook her head, looked up at me, tears in her eyes, and walked away. She hadn't yet sufficiently broken her brain. Independence Day is coming. On the 4th of July, we'll celebrate it or recognize it. Some people will mourn it. We need to be independent of thought, but we are not capable of being independent of thought. No, no, here's what I mean. Our minds are built by a creator. They are attacked by an enemy. We can choose who influences us. That's a choice we can make. That's an independent choice we can make. If we are grounded in the Word of God, we have actual independence. It seems paradoxical. It's not. We're just using the owner's manual. Right now, I'm in a storm at this. I'd appreciate your prayers. You might be in one too. We haven't met. But why don't I just pray in a general sense for everybody who's in that particular war? We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, we'll get to some kind of challenging emails to me. I love these. I love emails that lovingly disagree, and I'm entertained sometimes by the attacks I get. Not in this audience so much. It's so self-selecting. But we have a YouTube channel. And I know, believe me, I know about Google and they're evil and that they hate, they hate so much of what we stand for as Christians. Interestingly, we're on YouTube because young men are seeking Jesus. They're seeking information about Christianity. So we need to be there. We need to rush that zone. It's not the same as the AFR video format, which is superior, AFR.net. Monthly subscribers get access to the podcast and video. And of course, there you're supporting AFR. But we have to dabble in YouTube. So we put up these short little clips. And it's so interesting when an audience that's either learning about you or just discovered you and the things they say when they're outside of our Christian conservative bubble. I may put together a compilation of the best of these because some of them are so utterly entertaining. And so bizarre what people think about someone like me. Incidentally, those short clips are free, and they're clips of my podcasts. So if you ever want to sample that, super easy. Go to youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. It doesn't begin to compare to the work that's gone on with the AFR.net product, but it is a solid way to sample some of what I do in my podcasting. We'll get to those emails, by the way. Has to do with me saying figurehead Biden versus president and another topic of challenge for me. On this program, we do get as well to the Tower Babbling. First, though, let me just make you familiar with this. This has made the rounds online, and it has become so famous or infamous in some people's eyes that the people who run Joe Biden have been forced to respond to this. There are now organized efforts to debunk a guy. This is a guy on TikTok. A guy on TikTok was so persuasive in critiquing the Biden economy that full-on Mockingbird media outlets are doing everything they can to attack an anonymous dude on social media who used a tool on Walmart.com to show what's happened with the Biden economy.
I just, like, looked through my Walmart history, And I found this, like, Walmart order from 2 years ago for the whole month worth of groceries. 45 items cost $126. A whole month of groceries just for me, basically. But I did notice this reorder all button, and I wanted to see how much it would cost now. Now, this order of 45 items for 1 month would have cost $414. That is four times more.
So the way they're trying to debunk this is saying, oh, well, the consumer price index doesn't show that. No, the consumer price index doesn't show inflation at all like that. The consumer price index, like every other indices, sponsored by and published by the government, is rigged. Unemployment is rigged. Do people know the degree to which the unemployment numbers are rigged? If you give up looking for work after a year, you're no longer unemployed. If you have a fantastic full-time salary job of, let's say, 150 grand a year, and you're downsized or the economy has a terrible result and that the business ends, and you now have three part-time jobs earning 30 grand a year, so you've cut your salary, you cut your take-home pay in half, do you know that you've done better? Yeah, you have three jobs. Three. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is also adjusted in countless ways to make it seem like the economy is less volatile. This doesn't mention the fact that we've got a central bank that invents debt and then just says, you owe us that money. And then that debt becomes cash, and then the government gets that cash. So, yeah, debunk that all you want. There's now people who are replicating that result, going to Walmart.com. Not an endorsement of Walmart. It's just that that tool exists, and now there's people replicating these results. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three clips in the Tower of Babbling to sort of prove the point, what God does with these folks. Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, is either ridiculously corrupt or ridiculously inept because she has been wrong about every major financial move in history. But she's a woman of the people. We just had that just clip of the young man checking out Walmart.com. 304% increase in the price of groceries. The same order a few years later. Well, Janet Yellen, she apparently does her own grocery shopping. Does anyone actually, you know, believe that?
I just, like, looked through my...
Secretary Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I sure have. I go every week.
It's sticker shock, isn't it?
No.
I just, when you look at shipping costs, those have come down.
She said, no. Let's hear that again. Janet Yellen, A, says that she does her own shopping. She has a $20 million net worth. Listen again.
Secretary Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I sure have. I go every week.
It's sticker shock, isn't it?
No.
I just, when you look at shipping costs, those have come down.
No. It's not sticker shock. No. She says it so quickly. No. When you have a $20 million net worth, if you in fact do your own grocery shopping, what is sticker shock? We don't have anything like a $20 million net worth, but the Lord has rewarded us, or I should say that, he's gifted us financially. We'll go through the downturn in advertising revenues like everybody else. We're in the midst of that. That's going to happen. But it's only now that my wife came to me and said, Todd, I don't think you know how expensive things are. And I said, no, honey, I mean, I shop too. She goes, no, I do the core grocery shopping. She said, that bag of whey protein that you have there, she goes, I understand you have to have your protein, your macros. I support you in your fitness. You know that. That bag of powder, she goes, I looked. That bag that you just spent $9 on, 4 years ago, it was $3. 2 years ago, it was five. That same exact powder, that same exact size. And it's only now that my wife alerted it to me, or alerted me to it, that I'm beginning to get the sticker shock. Next up in today's Tower Babbling, this is a truly corrupt judge in Harris County, Texas. The judges there are giving bizarre powers. She is blaming someone else for the murder of 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungery. Her name is Judge Linda Hidalgo.
Biden and McConnell agree. It's just that Trump won't let him move it forward.
All due respect, Judge, you said this issue shouldn't be politicized, but by pointing the finger at former President Trump and Republicans in Congress, aren't you politicizing it?
I think I answered the question. This is about Jocelyn. This is about her family.
This is about illegal immigration. This is about a man who shouldn't have been in the country. This is about a man the government had a chance to turn back, to capture and send back multiple opportunities. And they chose not to. Tower Babbling, we thank the Lord for placing these people on these towers of sand, because I believe he's peeling back the curtain to look at the temple that is politics. I do pray that God would remove that woman from any position of influence. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. About 5 years ago, at the first Democrats primary debate, figurehead Biden argued that immigration laws should not be enforced and that illegal aliens should not be deported. But wait a minute. I thought we heard he's really tough on this now. He's the tough border hawk.
We should not be locking people up. We should immediately have the capacity to absorb them, keep them safe until they can be heard.
Should someone who is here without documents, and that is his only offense, should that person be deported?
That person should not be the focus of deportation. We should fundamentally change the way we
deal. Do you notice how quick Biden was and how good he was at lying? That person should not be the focus of deportation. Not answering the question, but doing it slickly. He has really declined. I'm not saying that to be funny or sensational. The fact is, that man is not there any longer. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Couple of emails. One is an amalgamation of emails that I got all of a sudden flooded in. Three separate listeners expressing one view on my phrase, the figurehead for Biden. Start here with a note from Debbie. Hi, Todd and company. I regularly listen to the podcast and to a Disciples View and enjoy your insight and perspective very much. I listen to other voices as well. Read the Epic Times and the Washington Stand from Washington Watch, also heard on AFR. I'm bothered, though, when you're distinctly critical of House Speaker Mike Johnson, especially because he's our brother in Christ, and I think he's miles ahead of Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy. It strikes me as divisive when believers need to stand unified as possible and disagree in kind and truthful ways. We outsiders cannot know all that is behind the sound bites we hear, but we can trust that his heart belongs to Jesus. I just read an article in the Washington Stand that reinforces that he surely has a biblical worldview. Here's the link. Thanks for sharing your viewpoints from your older sister in Christ on a little farm in Kansas, Debbie. Debbie, thank you so much for the notes. And by the way, Kansas is, my family hails from Kansas anyway, one side of my family. From Missouri and Kansas, the farming side of my family. Mike Johnson, no doubt, is a firm believer in the Lord Jesus. No doubt. I just don't think he trusts Jesus. There's a huge, huge gap between believing and serving and trusting. There is. It's a human failing. When Mike Johnson had the opportunity to stop kids from being transed, to stop children from being sex trafficked into our country in actual sex slavery, Mike Johnson had an opportunity to attach this to spending bills. To force the Democrats, if you want any of your initiatives passed, you're going to stop transing kids. You're going to stop allowing the sex trafficking of children across our border. He had an opportunity to do much, much more. He punted. Why? Israel and Ukraine. He wedded those two things together. I understand the Christian support for the people of Israel. How can you vote to send money to Hamas, which Mike Johnson did, and stand with Israel? The trusting of Jesus would be that the Lord Jesus is going to deliver Israel. And I know that Mike Johnson, I've heard from people who know him. He thinks he's in that position to serve Israel. Okay, how do you do that by serving Hamas? How do you serve Israel by taking the country that has been the number one ally in the world, that's us, and allowing us to be destroyed? As our nation is overrun with people who are going to vote, and they're already rigging elections by their mere body presence, by the changing of Congress, 23 seats exist solely because of illegal immigrants and solely serve the left. Mike Johnson could have worked to stop that. He punted. How do you serve Israel by destroying its number one most powerful ally? That's us. I don't think he trusts Jesus. So when I criticize him, I try to do it out of love. I try to speak to the fact that I know he serves the Lord Jesus. And yes, in terms of morality and observing the Christian faith and serving Jesus and speaking the language of that, he's not just miles above Nancy Pelosi. He's in a full different sphere. Appreciate the note, Debbie. And I do mean my response in love, and I truly appreciate it. About three people wrote to me all at once, saying that they would like me to refer to President Biden as President Biden rather than figurehead Biden. And they pointed out to me that God put Biden in that position or allows him to be there. I totally agree. Here's why I can't. You shall not lie. Joe Biden is in that position as figurehead because that's where God has placed him or allowed him to be placed. We must not lie. We must use accurate language. That man is not a president. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Until God decides you and I can visit again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples.